I hover, unnoticed, as the doctor places his hand on Miss Phillips' stooped shoulder and suggests she talk to her daughter. He assures her the girl, lying motionless on the narrow hospital bed, can hear every word she says. She nods, and he glances at his watch, already making his way to the door. Miss Phillips holds her daughter's limp hand carefully, so not to dislodge the tubes trailing from the pale skin. Sitting alone by the bed, the awkward brown chair squeaks when she adjusts her position. Sometimes she talks about the weather or the broken coffee machine in the hallway. Other times she just begs.
Please wake up. Can you hear me, Lucy? If you wake, I promise we'll do something special for your 17th birthday. I know it's still a couple of months away, but we'll invite all your friends and have a cake. Squeeze my hand if you're there.
The girl's hand doesn't move. Her mother weeps and crumbles another damp tissue in her fist before returning to absently scrunching the clean white sheets in her free hand. She rarely leaves the sterile hospital. She should be out working. There are bills to be paid. The landlord will only be understanding for so long. I want to remind her she has other responsibilities, but I'm distracted by Will calling my name. I cannot loiter in this curtain space either. I don't belong here. I've never really belonged anywhere, but Will needs me. And the beeping machines in this room are irritating. I leave her alone with her inconsolable grief. A shudder racks my body as I drift back into the room. Cheap cologne overpowers the disinfectant odor, tickling my nose and making me want to sneeze. Frank is in the room, alone. His face wrinkles into a sneer at the still girl, an expression he reserves for when no one watches. My stomach clenches. I want to leave, but my limbs won't move. Frank places his hand on the machine by the bed, as if the action can stop the beeping. The display continues to reflect the slow pulsing of the girl's heartbeat. I'm torn between screaming to get another adult in here and staying quiet so he doesn't sense me in the room. I stay silent. I am invisible. I'm not actually invisible, but I may as well be. People look past me like they do the homeless man in his grubby clothes resting in a closed shop doorway. If they don't make eye contact, he doesn't exist. This is me. If I don't move or make a sound, I don't exist. Last time Frank was in the room, he suggested if there is no change in condition over the next few days, perhaps the life support should be switched off. This only made Miss Phillips cling to his Ralph Lauren shirt and sob.
"How did this happen?" she asked.
Frank didn't know. Not the whole story, anyway. I'm the only one who does. Now, alone in the room, he leans over the bed and whispers in the ear of the lifeless girl.
Your mother doesn't love you. No one wants you.
As he leans away, he traces his finger slowly across her cheek. Nausea rises inside me as I choke back a scream. I recoil from the scene and am out of the room faster than I can blink. Jennifer and Taylor visit later that week. The girls hesitate in the doorway until Taylor's mum nudges them forward. Miss Phillips pushes disheveled strands of hair from her face and frowns at the girls from school.
"Come to finish the job?" she asks in a broken voice.
It was an accident.